Well, it's good to be back again, isn't it?
Amen, bro.
Yep, good to be back. Good to see everyone who's here, still alive. No one's passed on just yet. The Lord's good, isn't he? Amen. The Bible says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is a good God, isn't he? And I think sometimes we think that we're beaten a bit hard done by. But I tell you what, you were hard done by when the devil was your taskmaster, but you didn't know it. And you have to find out sometimes the hard way and realise that God is good. And he's always good, even though sometimes we don't think that he is always good. All right, something a little bit more, upbeat. Is that what you say? I guess a bit of a challenge, but I needed a bit of a challenge, a bit of refreshment. And maybe you're fine with the Lord in this area, but I know for myself it's an area which I need to be constantly challenged and encouraged in, and it's the area of witnessing, soul winning, and it should be every part of our day. It should not be something where we have our days off. I'm just not doing it today, Lord. It's not my calling today. No, it's always your calling. We're supposed to be busy about the Lord's work. But let's turn our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 15, a very well known passage, and I don't know yet what will happen. We'll just trust the Lord and see what happens tonight, but just some thoughts from here and then perhaps some thoughts from another passage as well. But in Luke chapter 15, and we won't read the whole chapter. In fact, we're only going to read the first seven verses, and you'll find in this passage there are three things that are lost. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son. And we're just going to look, we'll see, maybe briefly, I don't know, but at the lost sheep, and then Lord willing, maybe go somewhere else. But we'll just trust the Lord for that. But in Luke chapter 15, we'll just read, verses 1 through 7. And perhaps we could read it together. We often do that on a Sunday night. So if you've got a Bible and you're able to read, then we'll read from verse number 1 through to and including verse number 7. Starting verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, how good you are to us. Lord, we've been saved. We've been bought with a price. We've been reconciled. We've been redeemed. We've been justified. Lord, so many things you've done for us. We've been adopted. Lord, our citizenship is in heaven. And Lord, it only gets better from here on in. Lord, this is just the start of eternity for us. And Lord, we want to praise you, Lord, for making it possible, Lord, for us to be saved. And Lord, as tonight we look into this business of witnessing or soul winning or whatever you would like to call it, Lord, I pray you'd, first of all, Lord, you'd challenge my own heart. Lord, you'd just burden me afresh. And Lord, for each and everyone here, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you would put in their hearts, Lord, the necessity and the need, Lord, to go and share the gospel, Lord, to preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, have your will and way. And Lord, we would pray that you would be glorified and honoured in our midst this evening. And Lord, just be with us, Lord, we pray, Lord, as we go through this passage tonight together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I said as an opening that I often need to be challenged by this. I often need to be challenged. There are times when you just, as it were, everybody you see is just another person you want to talk to. But there are other times when you see people as a hindrance. You see people as a problem. You see people as just a nuisance. And I'm not saying that about necessarily everybody in general, but you know, certain people just, they really annoy you. They, you know, instead of seeing them as lost, we see them as something else. And in this particular passage here, we find the Lord Jesus, and verse 1, just a wonderful verse, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And it's one thing that if you're struggling with witnessing and soul winning, then the best thing to do is go and find the person who is the greatest soul winner of all time. That's the Lord Jesus. And if you're struggling for some ideas and some inspiration and some and just whatever it is, just get along with the Lord. Say, "Lord, how'd you do it?" Because he is our great example when it comes to winning souls. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in this opening verse here we find that there drew near to him all these publicans and sinners, and they wanted to listen to what he had to say. Now, publicans are not probably what you would think they are today. A publican would be someone who perhaps owns a pub or something like that. But a publican in those days was a tax collector. And a tax collector was not a well-loved person. In fact, the tax collector was despised and hated by the Jews, because generally speaking, a publican was a Jew who had, as it were, gone against his own people and was collecting taxes for the Roman government. And these were unscrupulous men. They would extort, they would rob, they would go over and above what was the required tax to line their own pockets. And as a result of it, they were viewed as traitors. They were viewed as people not to associate with, and they weren't very popular amongst the Jewish people. So we had that category. And then we have the sinners. Now, everybody's a sinner. Let's be honest. We know that. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," in Romans chapter 3. But this category here of sinner has a kind of a different meaning. And the idea of this word sinner here is those that are preeminently sinful or especially wicked, or men who are stained with certain vices and habits which are wicked. So let's put that in today's perspective. We have what we would say people who are a good moral people, okay? And they would try and operate within a realm of ethics. Things they would and wouldn't do. And whatever that might be. Now, they're still sinners. Don't be mistaken. Everybody's a sinner. But this particular case here was someone who was an habitual sinner who had some vices or some addictions or things which everybody perhaps knew about and they were tarnished by it. And you know, there are people in this town who have a reputation. The people in every town have a reputation. But these people had a reputation. These were your prostitutes. These were your drug dealers. These were your alcoholics. These were the kind of people who society today has by and large written off. And thanks to modern medical procedures, they've been given a title. The Bible gives them a title too. It says they're a sinner. But a lot of medical professions say, well, they've just got this problem, they've got that problem, they've got a low self, whatever they've got, but the Bible says they've got a sin problem. That's what the problem is. Now, these people here says they drew near. This tells us something about the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? When someone wants to come close to you and find out what you've got to say, then you obviously have something emanating from you that's attracting them. Someone wants to find out what's going on. Now, I don't know how many were there, but it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners." So let's just say that he came to Mount Gambier, the Lord Jesus, and it was well known, and he was having a meeting. At this particular meeting, there was a bunch of people from town who were the habitual sinners, the wicked ones, the ones who everyone else despised. Isn't that amazing? You know, people say, "Oh, that's terrible. you know, associating with those kind of people. Hey, that's not terrible. Have a look at the Lord Jesus, what the Pharisees said about him. They said this: "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Do you know what the word receiveth means? It means this: he had a companionship with them. Spent time with them. Now, he didn't spend time with them doing what they were doing, but he spent time with them because he knew that if he did, they would understand that he cared for them. See, it's a big difference. Now, this concept which says, you know, we've got to be like them to win them is completely false. But you've got to be with them to win them, you do. You're not just going to get them by sitting here in church. You've got to go find them. But the Lord Jesus must have had a reputation, because the Bible says they came for to hear him. They came for to hear him. Notice the Pharisees, though, and the scribes, says they murmured. They murmured. And some things that we need to get a hold of if we're ever going to see people saved is how we view sinners. Because there's a big difference between how the Lord Jesus viewed sinners and how the religious people viewed sinners. See, we can get so high and mighty and so holy and so sanctified that we don't have time for sinners. There's a problem with that. You don't have to look over your shoulder very far to find out where you come from. But at work of God's grace, we'd be all there too. So just be careful how far down your nose you look. Because if you look behind, it's not that far behind. It says, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." You know, eating with somebody is a sign of friendship, isn't it? A sign of hospitality. See, when you get someone over for a meal, it means you've got time with that person. It means you want to get to know that person. It means you want to look after that person. You want to look out for that person. Well, the Lord Jesus did it for these sinners and these publicans, and he was ridiculed by the religious people. You know, religion doesn't help anyone. Only the Lord Jesus ever did. Religion doesn't help anybody. Religion will take you to hell. You see, because religion is about me trying to impress God. Me trying to make my way. Whereas the Lord Jesus said, no, it's finished, it's done, you only come through me. And the Lord Jesus here is, he's eating, he's receiving these sinners, and he gets some criticism. So our perspective of sinners needs to change. You know, I wonder how many times we've been driving down the street, we've seen somebody of ill repute, and we've made some sort of a comment other than a caring comment. We do it, don't we? Sometimes we don't say it out loud, we just think it. You know, we see some poor homeless person on the street, or we see somebody who's under the influence of alcohol or drugs or something other else, and we're very quick in our condemnation of them. But remember, they need to be saved. And only the Lord Jesus can save them. You know, would to God that we had more like that come to our circles, that they felt like they could come near. You know, I remember hearing I read a message or a quote out of a message by a fella, and he said this. You've probably heard me say it before, but it really stuck with me. He said this. He said, "I love the smell of tobacco and alcohol in church." He says it means sinners coming to get saved. You know, we need those kind of people. You say, well, nobody else has got time for them. Yeah, but Lord Jesus has. He's got a lot of time for them, and seems to me they had a lot of time for him. But he speaks his parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" They're critical of him, and he kind of poses a question to them, doesn't he? He says this, he says, "Which one of you, what kind of a shepherd, what kind of a man who looks after his sheep, if he's got 99, as if he's got 100, and one of those 100 goes missing, what's he going to do?" That's kind of a bit of a rhetorical question, isn't it? It's like, well, the obvious answer is he's going to go look for it. And I find it interesting how that God refers to us as sheep. Now, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. And I was talking to my wife about this a few weeks ago, and we were discussing sheep. We have some sheep at home, and it is interesting to watch the characteristics of sheep. Very interesting. When we first got the sheep, the 6-7 months ago, they were as scared as anything. I'd drive down the driveway in the car and they'd go running. They saw a car and it spelt trouble. And you walk in there anywhere near them, they'd be running. They'll skits as much as sheep can be. You know when they run past you and they do this massive leap up in the air, you think, what the world was that for? I don't know what it is, but they do this massive leap in the air and they keep going. It doesn't achieve anything. They're going the same speed, but I think it gives them some sort of joy, I think. But anyway, just recently, one of our sheep had some lambs. And this kind of brought this story to me to life a little bit. Not that I'm a shepherd or claim to be anything close to it, but we had this sheep, we had a couple of lambs, and they were only pretty young, only a week or so old. And they're pretty cute for lambs. They're black-faced things, and they're pretty evil anyway, but caused me grief. But this particular afternoon, I come home from work, and my habit is to glance over the sheep, make sure they're okay and whatever. And as I glanced over, I saw one lamb. Now, this particular sheep had twins, and one was missing. And I don't like to lose anything. Now, it might be motivated by the wrong motive, as in, I don't want to lose it because that's going to taste good one down my table. And I hope you understand that. Well, I didn't want to lose it, though. And I went looking for it. And I searched the yard high and low. I mean, we haven't got a big place. It's about 7 acres. And they've got about probably running three of it. So it's not a big area. And I'm doing loops through the trees, looking under every log. Well, not under every log, but looking behind, looking in these little ditches, down holes, everything. I'm trying to find this sheep high and low. I can't find it. And I'm thinking, where in the world can a sheep go? It's you know, it's this big, but surely we'd find it, you know. Anyways, I thought, well, it's obviously gotten out. That's the conclusion. And these sheep that I've got, they're Houdinis. They can get out anything. They'll climb under. I've got wire that close to ground, they'll get underneath it. Anyway, possessed with something. But anyway, this little lamb had gotten through. And not just one fence, but gotten through two fences. And I don't know why. I don't know whether one of the other sheep had gotten out and left it out there and no one come back or what happened. But I walked across several hundred metres across another paddock, and here's this little lamb, and it had been out for some while. I don't know how long. And it's sitting down the ground, and it's all curled up, and pretty weak. It's still on the mother's milk. And I thought, this thing's about dead. You know, I thought, this thing's dead. Anyway, I went to go for it, and this thing kind of hopped up and then tottered around, half fell over, and I got it and picked it up and it stopped struggling, and I took it back to the mother, and we still got two lambs. That's a good end of the story. And I didn't do what this man did and call the neighbours in and say, look, rejoice with me, I found a sheep. But there was a sense of satisfaction that the sheep hadn't died, the little lamb hadn't died, and I was able to restore it back to its mother. How much more a person, how much more a sinner? How much more should we put in some endeavour and some intent when it comes to looking for sinners? You see, this man here, he says, what man of you having 100 sheep if he lose one of them? You say, well, he's got 99 others. What's the big deal? No, they're all precious, see? See, back then, 100 was a big flock. And that shepherd, he had every one of those sheep named. He would speak to them and they'd follow him. He'd lead them to the next bit of pasture. He'd lead them to the water. He'd lead them to wherever they need to go. So he'd look after them. That was his wife. They were his wife. Fact is, he would lay down his life for that sheep. It says here, if he lose one of them, doth not leave. You know, when you are going to go share the gospel with something, you're going to have to leave something behind, aren't you? You're going to leave something behind. It requires some effort, doesn't it? When you're looking for sinners, it's going to be maybe a little bit costly. I don't know what he thought, what he felt when he left, but he probably thought, well, I hope they're all right when I'm gone. I mean, hopefully someone will, whatever. I don't know what he was thinking. But he's thinking, I've got to go rescue this one that's lost. Now, there was some intent, there was some endeavour there, and the Bible says that he left them behind. Left it behind. You know, there are things you've got to leave behind. You're going to have to leave behind some pride. You have to leave behind some pride. You know, a lot of people don't go and share the gospel with others because they're just too proud. They're too scared of what people think. Too scared. Oh, I can't share the gospel with someone. What will they think? You need to ask yourself the question, not what other people think, but what the Lord Jesus think if you don't. What would the Lord Jesus think if you didn't go share the gospel? You know, that person's lost. They're lost. You've got to leave some things behind. And something else you do have to have is you need to have some genuine care and love. You've got to have some genuine care and love. And we could probably frame it in one word, and the word's compassion. It's called compassion. You know, compassion is action. It's my feelings being stirred to the point where I'll do something about it. You know, the Bible says the Lord Jesus was full of compassion. You look at his ministry and all you see is compassion. He had compassion on this man. He had compassion on that lady. He had compassion on the multitude. All throughout you find he had compassion. Compassion compels you to do something about it. It's more than just feeling sorry for him, but it's move within to do something about it. I've heard it said the definition for compassion is it slipped my mind. I haven't got it written down. I'll come back to that. But compassion. Do we have compassion for lost people? Do we really care? Do we really care? Not just, oh yeah, I don't want people to go to hell, but I'm going to do something about it. This sheep has wandered. This sheep has gone someplace where it's going to require some effort to find it. Am I prepared to do that? You know, it's one thing about door knocking is you're compelled to go look. You're compelled to do it. I wouldn't say that door knocking is particularly easy. I wouldn't say that door knocking is particular something that you go, yes, can't wait to go door knocking. There are times when it is like that. But there are times when it's just, I don't really want to do that. Well, what does the Lord Jesus think of that? How does he feel about it? Now, he came looking for me. Do I go look for him? You know, the Bible says that we've been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, it is a command. Now, I hope and pray that it's not just the command that gets us going. I hope it's something else than that. I hope it's because we really love him and we really love lost people. But compassion, do we have compassion? And we've already mentioned it, but he leaves and goes after that which is lost until he find it. You know, I've found that the times when I've had to share the gospel predominantly have been from me looking, not from others searching me out. You found that? There's not very many people who come up to you and say, Brother Dave or Shay or whoever else you get mentioned here, I'm just looking for the Lord Jesus. Can you lead me to him? They don't do that. See, sheep wander. They go astray. And where do you go look for them? How are you going to find them unless you go looking? You know, everywhere you go is an opportunity. We shouldn't be just, we have designated times. No, we should be always out there looking. Everybody we see should be someone else we can share the gospel with. You say, but we don't get that opportunity to talk to everybody. No, we don't. But there should be that intent to. Should be that intent. It should be in our heart. It should be like, someone's got to share the gospel. I should share the gospel. Whatever. Now, whether you do or not, that's between you and the Lord. But there should be something in you that's just burning you up saying, you know what, someone's got to go share the gospel with that person. If it's not there, then chances are you're not going to go looking. You won't go looking. Now, you ask any of the fellows who go out on a Thursday night. You ask anyone who goes doing it. You go ask anyone who has ever gone out and deliberately gone looking for sinners. It's hard work. Do you reckon this fella here had a hard time of finding that sheep? I guarantee he did. I guarantee he did. I think this sheep got good and proper lost. And took a fair bit of time and a fair bit of effort to find it. Notice that what else it says. When he hath found it. What does he do? He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Couple things here. One, it tells us the condition he finds it in. It's pretty messed up. He doesn't call that sheep as you would normally do. Say, come on sheep, come with me, let's go back to the fold. What does he have to do? He's got to pick it up. He's got to put it on his shoulder. That tells him the sheep's in bad shape. Can't walk. It's pretty broken up. And let me tell you, that's a good picture of where sin will take you. It'll break you up. It'll mess you up. It'll get you to a place where when someone finds you, they probably have to carry it for a bit just to get going. Is that the kind of sheep we're looking for? How we ought to be. This sheep's messed up. But notice something else. When he finds it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Something tells me that when he found the sheep in that condition, he knew exactly what to do. There's a big responsibility for us as believers that when we find somebody's lost, to know what to do, how to help them. Let me ask you something. If somebody was here tonight and came to you and said, I'm all messed up with sin and I need to be saved, would you know what to do to lead to the Lord? Pretty serious question, isn't it? So I just share the gospel with you, but what are you going to do? You say, I just pray. Well, that's what you should do. But something tells me that this shepherd, he'd been looking for these kind of sheep for a long time. He knew what to do. He's experienced. How do you get experienced? You get out and do it. Yeah, this isn't something you read in a textbook. This isn't something that you would do a course on. Now, if you're going to witness, you're going to be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get out there and do it. You say, what about if I mess up? It's God's responsibility to save. It's my responsibility to go look for him. That's what it is. You see, if it was just left up to us, we'd make a mess out every time. But thank God, it's not left up to us to save people, but it is left up to us to go find, isn't it? It's true. Now, fears can hold us back. We say, but what would I say? What would I do? Let me tell you something. You need to get a hold of what God's done for you and then go share that with them. That's a good start. That's a real good start. But how about knowing where to go in the Word of God, how to show someone how they can be saved from God's Word? Do we have knowledge? Do we have understanding in the Word of God? Can we sit down with somebody and say, look, let me just take you through the Word of God here and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. You see, people need to hear the Word of God before they can be saved. The Bible says this, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They don't need you telling them some sort of a self-help motivation kind of a thing. They need to hear you say, this is what God's Word says. And what does God's Word say? Well, the Bible says we're all sinners. Romans 3. You know, none of us are good, none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Romans 5 that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, the verse behind, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then a person says, well, I want to try and, you know, work my way to God. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do we know these things? Do we understand where a person's at? Can we see where they come? Do we have discernment, biblical discernment, to be able to help them come to the Saviour? It's a serious thing, isn't it? You know, someone's eternal destiny could hinge on the fact that I know or I don't know. So, well, that's taken a bit far. Hey, if a sheep's dying, I want to know how to help save that thing. Now, I know ultimately the Lord's going to save. But I need to play some part in preaching the gospel. I better get it right. What does he do when he finds it? Well, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. You know, there's nothing better, there's nothing more exciting than seeing people saved. Nothing more exciting. When you get an opportunity to sit down with somebody and share the gospel with them, and they're sitting there in front of them, you can see the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin. And that person say, I need to be saved. And they get down on their knee and they repent before a holy God and say, God, I'm a sinner. But I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that he rose again. And I'm asking you to be my Lord and Saviour. There's nothing greater than seeing someone get saved. It's the new birth. It's someone being changed from death to life, from darkness to light. And if there's something better that you can think of, then you've got the wrong priority. seeing somebody get saved. What does he do? He rejoices. He gets excited about it. Says he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He's got a whole bunch of other people who get excited about it as well. You know, it's great to be around people who are excited about just sharing the gospel. It kind of rubs off on you a bit, doesn't it? You know, you get all keen, you get all excited, and you sit there and you compare stories. Oh, that opportunity, or that time, or this, that, and away you go. And that fire again gets kindled in your heart. And you're like, you know what? Let's go out and do it again. You see, I don't find that sheep coming looking for that shepherd. You know, it's on the rare occasion that a person will stumble into a church. It's rare. That's normally people bringing them in. That's people looking for them. That's the way God's made it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the job. That's the task at hand. Well, they all start rejoicing. And go one step better than that. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Think about it. You know what gets heaven shouting and hollering, shouting glory, hallelujah? People getting saved. Yeah? Now, heaven gets a bit excited when people get saved. The angels are rejoicing in heaven over one. Over one. I think if heaven's excited about it, then something tells me we ought to get a little bit excited ourselves. Don't you think? Now, I said this morning that 90%, and I don't know the facts and the figures and how they come up with it, but I dare say it's true. 90% of people don't share the gospel. Now, I'm not being condemning here, I'm not judging you, but I'm saying something's wrong if we're not. Something's wrong inside of us if we don't have a sense of compassion for somebody who's lost. Something's wrong inside of me. If I look at somebody who's in sin and poke fun at it and think it's funny, something's wrong with that. There ought to be something inside of me that hurts. That's burdened. That kind of, it's that, you know the term, that gut-wrenching feeling when something's turned and twisted inside of you? The sight of somebody walk along the street who's on their way to a devil's hell, that ought to affect us. Let me tell you something. If it doesn't affect us, then that probably answers the question why we're not going to do anything about it. I don't imagine the Lord Jesus used to walk around just blindly, just, you know, doing what he did, turning the bread, you know, water into wine, making the loaves and water and fish, all that kind of. I don't think he did that. Let's have a look at a quick example. You've been good tonight, been patient, I know, but this is a great example. In John chapter 9, and this to me was, I read this, I was going to use this as another passage, but we spent a little bit of time in Luke, but John chapter 9, I would love to read the entire chapter, but I won't. But I encourage you to go home this evening and read the rest of it. In John chapter 9. I'll read one verse in chapter 8, read a couple of verses in chapter 9, make it just a couple of quick points, and then we're finished. But in chapter 8, verse 59, it says, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Here's the picture. Lord Jesus has been to the temple. He's made some claims about himself. The Pharisees, the scribes, they're going to get hopping mad. They want to kill him. They're going to stone him. Okay. He hides himself. They can't find him. What does it say? And so passed by. Have a look what happens when he passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. So what's the significance of that?
They've been about stoning. They're about to kill him. But as he's making his way down the temple, guess what he saw? Someone had a knee. He's a man born blind.
Notice something else. What did the disciples see?
They saw exactly the same thing. And what did they say? How did he get so messed up? Well, they said it.
And what did the Lord Jesus say? Here's an opportunity for me to be against the Lord. Two totally different perspectives in it. You know what? Most of us fit in the category of disciples. How'd that fella get so messed up? Well, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus, they want to stone him, they want to kill him. And he sees this man. He says, I've got to stop. We can't go any further. This fella has a need. Pretty serious, isn't it? He had time. Oh, I'm too busy to share the gospel. You're too busy then. You're way too busy. What happens? Mixes up the clay, puts it in his eyes, says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What does he do? He does exactly as he's told. Doesn't know who it is. The Lord Jesus obviously leaves. The disciples are all got there. They're making headway getting out of there. They're about to be stoned. Neighbours come along. Who did this? I don't know. Someone called Jesus. I don't know who he is. Now, what did he look like? They couldn't ask that because he was blind. But anyway, they said to him, where's all these questions asked? I don't know. I've got no idea. Well, come with us to the Pharisees. We'll go talk to them. So they go to the Pharisees and they said, who did this? And he said, well, Jesus did it. And they said, well, he's no good. They knew he was. They said, well, and he said this, whether he be sin or not, I know not. He says, one thing I know was this. Once I was blind, now I see. And what does the Bible say they did to him? Well, let's have a quick look. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Where'd they cast him out of? Cast him out of the temple. He said, you're not welcome here anymore. If you believe in this Jesus, that's it. We're done with you. We're finished. We've got nothing to do with you. This fellow's not even saved yet. He's not saved. How do you know? Well, have a look in the next verse. This is one of my favourite verses in the Bible. Jesus heard that they cast him out. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus heard. Jesus heard. You know, we don't hear a lot, do we? We're not listening. We're too busy doing our own thing. But Jesus heard. This is what it says. And when he had found him. I think a lot of this. The Lord Jesus is busy, under pressure, on the run. He's still got time for sins. Comes to the religious people, people who should be able to help. They can't help. They don't want to help. They couldn't care less. The Lord Jesus comes back, says to him, dost thou believe? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. The man was saved. How good's that? This is a real story. That's a real man. Hey, you're going to go talk to that man one day to save. Say, what happened? And you know what he'll tell you? He'll say this. Somebody cared. Somebody cared. No one else cared for him. Couple questions and we're done. Do you care about sinners? Do I care about sinners? Do I know where they're headed? Do I believe that there's a devil's hell? Do I believe God's word that my responsibility is to go and to tell them? And lastly, what am I doing about it? What are you doing about it? The Lord Jesus said this in that chapter 9 in John. He said, I must work the works of him while it is still day. We said this morning, you're not guaranteed any extra day than what you think you have. Probably less than what you know. Work while there's still day. Get busy while we've still got a chance. It's too late once you're in heaven to get back here and do something about it. We need to do something about it now. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is a challenge to us, but also a blessing and encouragement, Lord. And Lord, just a wonderful insight into our Lord Jesus and his ministry that he had. Lord, we're thankful that you so loved us, that you gave. And Lord, that you were the one who came looking for us. Thank you for, Lord, those who've came along our path and taken the time to share the gospel. Lord, who cared for us. Lord, who brought us up and nurtured us in the ways of the Lord so that we could see and hear and understand the gospel, Lord, some of us at young ages. Lord, for those who perhaps haven't been saved at a young age, Lord, that's, Lord, salvation is just as marvellous. It's just as wonderful. And Lord, in light of what we've looked at tonight, it certainly does seem wrong and not right, Lord, if we don't get out there and do something about it. Lord, give us, Lord, compassion, Lord, for lost people. Lord, give us the desire or the willingness. Lord, we might have to leave some things behind. Lord, certainly our fear of man and pride and things that plague us at times, Lord, help us, Lord, just to love you enough. Lord, to be willing enough and to love others enough, Lord, to go and share the gospel with them, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day and just how good you've been to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.